This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Today, I am devoting my entire hour to erotica. Now, back in 1995, when I was working on my very first erotic fiction collection, which would become Best Lesbian Erotica in 1996, which was published by Cleus Press, there was not a whole lot of erotica out there. Erotic fiction was still considered taboo. Sometimes it was considered cheap. You found it in these mass market paperback books or on the top shelf or the bottom shelf. It certainly didn't have its own section in Barnes & Noble, which it does today. But a few years before that, Susie Bright came out with this collection called Best American Erotica, where she collected the best erotic stories of the year. And that became an annual series, which she did for many years. And it is still, I think, one of the best anthology series out there. Since that time, back in the 90s, things have really exploded in the genre of erotica. There has been so much interest in erotic fiction that now, in fact, there is a section in the bookstore just for erotica. And erotica has become so diverse that whether you are gay, straight, male, female, trans, coupled, single, old, young, it doesn't matter. There is truly something for everyone. And my own publisher, who's published several of my books, Cleus Press, is at the forefront of publishing some of the best, most solid, most well-written erotica anthologies that are on the market today. And I'm so pleased to have a whole stable of Cleus Press authors on my show today. And instead of just talking about erotica, which of course we're going to do, I thought I would switch things up and I would treat all of you on this Friday or whenever you happen to be listening to some live erotic readings. This could be a good tool to get you in the mood or to inspire you or simply for you to feel a little bit naughty while you're listening in a public place like the subway or a coffee shop. So let's get to it. Let me first tell you about my fabulous lineup. This hour, I'm going to welcome Shauna Germain, Sachi Green, Delilah Devlin, Allison Tyler, and Christina Wright. All of them are going to be reading some of their work, and we're going to talk to them all about their careers. These are really some of the heaviest hitters in the world of erotic fiction today. So I'm so thrilled that I don't even know how it's possible that they're all available on the same day at the same time, but we made it happen. So first up is Shauna Germain, whose poems, essays, short stories, novellas, articles, and more have found homes in hundreds of magazines, newspapers, books, and websites. An associate fellow at the Attic Institute in Portland, Oregon, she's taught classes in writing, publishing, media, and photography at a wide variety of places. She's even garnered an award here and there, including a Pushcart nomination, the Roxa Prize for Erotic Poetry, and the C. Hamilton Bailey Poetry Fellowship. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Shauna.
Thank you for having me.
I am so excited and I want to get right to it. I want to cut to the chase. I want to skip the foreplay. Shall we?
That sounds perfect.
I hear that you are reading a story from the anthology Duty and Desire, Military Erotic Romance, which is edited by Christina Wright.
Yes, I'm going to read part of my story called Shattered.
Okay, go.
Great. This is from Shattered. While he was gone, I thought about divorcing him. It wouldn't be unheard of. It was happening all over. All my friends whose husbands had gone off to war, they'd found someone on the side, someone cute and reliable, and most important of all, nearby. Close enough that you could smile at them in the grocery store. Close enough they could offer to bag your groceries or take you to dinner. Close enough that you could touch them across the table, across a plate, across the space of the front seat of their car, their fingers and wrists, their hair, the pointy edges of their elbows. Close enough that you could remember the way a collar lies buttoned against a throat, the way it opens under your fingertips like a flap of a letter, holding the promise of joy or grief. Close enough that the morning bed would hold a real body, a physical presence of heat and sleep and there-ness. In those days, that alone was enough of a reason for a divorce, because someone was there, and someone else wasn't. I didn't do that. I didn't do the grocery store, or the dinner, or the feel of someone in my bed. Don't think I'm some saint, some holier-than-thou. There was none of that. The truth of it is, men asked me, and I was afraid. The truth is that other men tried to touch me, and still I loved him. And as time went on, I became afraid that the only reason I loved my husband so much was because he had not yet come back to me. Now that he has come back, he goes to meetings, places with folding chairs and bare light bulbs, places where the coffee runs free, the cigarette smoke slinks into the fiber of sweaters, the creases of jeans, the kinks of pubic hair. He talks about the war and what it meant and what it was like. He sits in his chair in the back, his palms running over and over his knees the way he does now. He waits until last. He has to be pushed into talking by the dark-haired woman who runs the meetings. In the end, he slurps his coffee, clears his throat, and tells this story. I wasn't supposed to go ahead of the rest of them. I was supposed to wait outside, but I was impatient and stupid. Or maybe he doesn't talk at all, I don't know. I don't go to the meetings. I'm not allowed. And he's never talked to me about the war. I make it up in my head what the horrors were, what the jokes were, how they survived, just enough pieces of them left to glue together and ship back home. What do I know of what he went through? What I do know is that he comes home to me after the meetings, smelling of fake creamer and words that have been exhaled like stale smoke, and of the despair that lingers in the folds of metal chairs. What I do know is that he comes home and he needs something to do with his fingers. They itch. He chews them sometimes while he watches TV, nibbles roughly on the edges as if to eradicate something they remember, or something they forgot. He likes to open nuts, hard shells, walnuts mostly, crack, crunch, things breaking into pieces. Lying in bed, I wait, and I wait. Out in the living room, he breaks his nuts, cracks his knuckles, bites his fingers, and I wait some more. Sometimes I fall asleep, but I try not to. I want to be ready for him. In the early of the morning light, when you think it might be dawn, but it's not yet, when it's a new day, but there's no light, when the shadows that are just shadows of doors and clothes and lamps morph solid and gain sustenance, I get up and I go to him. I find my place on his lap and offer myself to him. In the near dark, he doesn't want to kiss. He wants to bite, to rip and shred. His mouth finds the exposed parts of me and exploits them. Sometimes my neck is bruised so dark it looks like ink splotches decorate my skin. Sometimes my nipples so purple they turn gray in the bathroom light. In the near dark, his cold fingers smell of walnuts and calciumed edges of his teeth. He explores the boundary of my skin, that thin line where I stop being myself and start being part of the world, and he interjects himself. I become myself and the world and him that is this new him, It's not as heavy as I thought it would be, but it is sharp as shrapnel. He licks the hull of me until I'm shiny as steel. He cracks the shell of me with his teeth until I'm nothing, nothing but metal and shine. Before, he was a quiet man. Even in the bedroom, even in those moments of abandon, a sigh, a groan. Our sex wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't awful. Sweet vanilla, they call it now. Vanilla with a swirl of caramel, maybe. Those occasional, often accidental moments of sweet joy. I can say that looking back, as though I know what I'm talking about. As though I knew what I am talking about. We are sweet together, and I knew nothing else. He wasn't my first, but he was my longest, and we had a routine, a way of moving together that felt like all there was. Slow kisses and soft caresses, and the moment he'd lay me down to enter me. So what if we didn't have butterflies or sparks, or if I needed a bit of help? We loved each other, and we liked each other, and when they sent him away, I laid on my bed, and I masturbated myself to tears. Now he is a quiet man. He must make noise as if to reassure himself that he exists, that the world will not end, that his world will not end if he gives his position away with a word or a sentence. When I go to him in these almost morning hours, he takes my head in his big hands, pushes me down to kneel on the living room carpet. Now he says, "Suck me." Now he says, "I'm going to finger fuck you, slut." He says, "I will break you." I say nothing. I can't anyway, even if I knew what to say. He's got his fingers stuffed in my mouth, his thumb rubbing the edges of my teeth, his fists holding down my tongue. And if I could, what would I say? Now I would say, "The push of your hand on the back of my head makes me wet." Now I would say, "I like it when your fingers split me open." I would say, "I want to be broken by you." No, I wouldn't. I would say fuck and fuck, and the whisper tug of my fingers in his hair, and the slap sting of my skin beneath his hand, and the choked gasp of my breath from my throat. When I come, he says my name 3, 5, 100 times, rapid fire, as though I am a weapon he wields to protect him from the coming day.
Ooh, wow. Okay, let me just collect myself. That was, wow, that was quite a way to kick off. You know, your writing is so detailed. There's such specificity in the things that you notice. The thing about the walnuts and some of the metaphors. I'm wondering if you always kind of think of sex in terms of some of these metaphors, like hard and soft. And I mean, tell me about the writing process for you a little bit.
Well, I'm a very character-driven writer. And so in this particular case, this character is very driven by sound and scent, and by the very sort of mundane elements of her life, right? She's really interested in fabrics and foods and the things that are very tactile. And that's so when she describes the world, she describes the world in that way. But other characters of mine don't. Other characters of mine are more oblivious, or they're really focused on sight. And so for me, it's very much kind of who is this character and how do they view the world? And especially which of the five senses is kind of their primary sense? And I often choose one that seems to be important to them. And I kind of construct sex around that.
I love that as a hook to pick a sense and really join it with this character. Well, that was so wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Shauna. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Absolutely.
Shauna Germain's most recent books include Geek Love, an anthology of full frontal nerdity, and Bound by Lust, romantic stories of submission and sensuality. You can find out more about Shauna at shaunagermain.com. That's shaunagermain.com. After the break, we will hear more steamy stories, this time from Sachi Green and Delilah Devlin. So stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Hello, Sex Out Loud listeners. This is Jennifer from the Smitten Kitten. Did you know that you can get 20% off your entire purchase at smittenkittenonline.com? All you have to do to get your discount is use the coupon code Tristan. That's T-R-I-S-T-A-N. That means you can get 20% off all Enjoy surgical steel toys, 20% off all Vixen Creations silicone toys, including Tristan's signature butt plugs, and you can also get all of Tristan's DVDs, the entire Vivid Ed series she did, and the Chemistry series for 20% off. Too. Sex Out Loud listeners can get 20% off of everything at smittenkittenonline.com. Smitten Kitten specializes in high-quality sex toys and supplies. We're well-known for having an amazing selection of toys made of silicone and other body-safe materials. Shopping on our website is easy. You can chat online with a Smitten Kitten sex educator, or you can call us anytime at 888-751-0523. Everything is 20% off at smittenkittenonline.com when you use coupon code Tristan at the checkout.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today we're spending the show talking about and hearing some fabulous erotica. If you want to know where you can get these books that you'll hear from today, one of the places which has an incredible erotica selection is one of my sponsors, the Smitten Kitten. The Smitten Kitten is a progressive sex toy store for everybody, specializing in high quality sex toys and supplies and erotic fiction anthologies. So check them out at smittenkittenonline.com and use the coupon code Tristan for 20% off. Our next guest is a Lambda Award-winning writer and editor of erotica and other stimulating genres. Saatchi Green's stories have appeared in scores of publications, including 7 volumes of Best Lesbian Erotica, 4 of Best Women's Erotica, 4 of Best Lesbian Romance, Best Transgender Erotica, Best Fantasy Erotica, and Penthouse. In recent years, she's taken to wielding the editorial whip, editing or co-editing 9 lesbian erotica anthologies, including Road Hard, Put Away Wet, Lipstick on Her Collar, Lesbian Cowboys, Lesbian Cops, Girl Fever, and Wild Girls, Wild Nights. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Saatchi.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, I like to get right to the sex and talk later. How do you feel about that?
Talking is definitely better than smoking later. Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
And what are you going to read from today? Which book?
Okay. I'm reading from the most recent book to come out, which is Girl Fever, 69 Stories of Sudden Sex for Lesbians. This is a lot of sex, a lot of great stories. And in fact, Shanna has 2 stories in this book, and Delilah, who's coming up next, has a story, along with the fantastic array of other writers, both experienced and new. It was a lot of fun to do, a lot of work. And I'm reading my own story from the piece, but I can sincerely say that most of the other 69 stories are even better, or much better in some cases.
Okay.
So you want me to go ahead and read it now?
Absolutely.
Okay, this is called Snowbound. Fortunately, I am not currently snowbound, but you never know. Will we be able to breathe? You'd better hope so. Keep digging. Icy pellets whipped across my face. Good. Pain prodded anger, and anger might distract Katie from panic. It was hard to stay mad as she burrowed into the white mound, her sweet little tail and stretched ski pants twitching like a chipmunk. As she scooped snow out, I used it to extend our space. Okay, I shouted above the wind. Enough. Now pack this inside surface as firmly as you can. Use your round butt for something besides flirting. The storm stole the last words, just as well. 3 skis, including her broken one, leaned against an opening of our improvised cave, giving us a bit more room once I'd packed snow over them. The fourth, bright red, I planted upright for searchers to see after the storm let up. Hollow ski poles, tips and handles hacked off with my utility knife, went through the walls at angles to keep them from being plugged by falling snow, so we'd have a little air supply, unless the accumulation topped 3 more feet. Coming in, I wriggled through the remaining narrow slit. Katie curled to one side, making room. The space was wide enough to roll over in, and almost high enough in the center to sit up. Good job, my tone was still brusque. Help me spread this out. Ski patrol equipment around here includes one of those thin mylar space blankets, big enough for one body to roll up in. Better now as a shield between us and the packed snow floor. In the dim light, I saw Katie eyeing my butt pack, probably wondering what else was in there. Better not mention the energy bars and chocolate yet. She didn't ask. Raph, I'm really, really sorry I got you into this. A sincere apology. No petulance, no sly flirting now. Might be more to her after all than a cute face, a tantalizing body, and a rich daddy. What the hell were you doing taking off on a closed trail? I knew you'd follow. That was the plan, to get you off alone with me. Katie lay back, an arm across her eyes. I thought the trail would curve back to the base lodge eventually. I just didn't know the storm would be so bad so fast. Idiot. You didn't know you'd crash into the rocks. That body crumpled on the ground when I'd found her, the broken ski. But she was okay and mad enough at herself for both of us. I eased off. The getting alone together part worked anyway. There is that, for as long as we survive. She couldn't quite control the tremor. We'll survive. I'm an old hand at this. Katie's body language shifted subtly. In that case, if you really think we'll be okay, maybe I'm not so sorry after all. That's the spirit. When she'd asked for private lessons, skiing clearly hadn't been the only sport she'd had in mind. I suppose, she said, we'll have to give each other warm, conserve body heat. We're still warm from digging. Wait until we need more. Time for the distraction of an energy bar. Katie ate her half and kept still after a wriggle or two, even when I had us unzip our parkas and snuggle close. Even through my flannel shirt and her fleece one, her breast against mine tempted me to wriggle too. But I resisted, and after a while she dozed. Snow rose above the entrance. Wind howled across the tops of the ski pole tubes, its unearthly sounds becoming almost soothing. I dozed too. Raph, Katie woke, shivering with more than the cold. What time do you think it is? Not quite panic. I checked my watch with a penlight, midnight. Only about 7 hours until daylight, and the wind has died down. We'll be fine. I could sure use more body heat now, she said plaintively, panic subdued. Show me where you're cold. I groped under her shirt and sports bra. Pretty warm here. She gasped. Her nipples reached out for more as I tweaked them, but she managed to pull one of my hands down to her crotch. Don't stop, but how about here? She arched into my touch. I paused to pull her ski pants down for easy access. Nope, regular steam bath here. I slid my fingers along her warm, tender flesh, then underneath her. She squealed in frustration. Your poor little seat is definitely chilly, though. Too bad there isn't room in here for the spanking you need. I made do with a few firm pinches. Ow! Can I have a rain check? A snow check on that? Right now I need more, please, more. In the confined space of the cave, her scent was maddening. I struggled to keep a grip on my own needs. No kicking or thrashing. There's nothing in here to tie you to. I'll try. And she did try, while my left hand kept on with all the torment her breast demanded, and my right worked her slick cunt lips and clit with hard strokes and made her beg for even more. Deeper, Raph, please. So I obliged, but not as deeply as I wanted to. The ski patrol supplies didn't include latex gloves. There was no resisting getting my tongue on her clit, though, and giving her every intense stroke she needed to scream at last in a pitch as unearthly as anything the wind had managed. You now, Raph, she managed to say at last. Make that a snow check, too. I'm likely to kick and thrash enough to bring this whole place down. I wasn't at all sure about enough air to breathe if I got going, either. Try to sleep some more now. Katie eventually did. I didn't. The pulsing roar of the helicopter penetrated our snow walls about when I'd expected. The pilot, a buddy of mine, would have seen the red ski. I shook Katie awake. Rescue time. She clung to me all the closer, but I gently disentangled her and made sure her ski pants were pulled well up. Now we get to kick the snow walls all we want. I did the kicking. By the time we emerged into early morning sunlight, Katie's father was struggling through the deep snow to meet us. I'm fine, Daddy, Katie called. Rafaela saved my life. Once they'd hugged, he gripped my hand and shook it fervently. How can I thank you enough? They told me you'd take care of her. I insist on a big reward. I'll write a check. Daddy, I'm a grown woman, Katie said firmly. I'll take care of that. Oh, right, of course. They'd clearly had similar issues before. He turned back to me. Well, you have my sincere gratitude. What a good thing Katie's ski instructor was so competent. And, well, and a woman, Katie filled in, since we had to spend the night together. She took my hand with more of a squeeze than a shake. I couldn't agree more. A swift, relatively chaste kiss on my cheek gave her a chance to mutter in my ear, snow checks are the best kind. And they were, a reward that keeps right on giving. And that's the end.
Oh, I love that. Now, you've been writing and editing lesbian erotica for many years. What do you feel like there are trends that you've spotted?
I wish I could say there were more. I wish there were more of a trend toward people realizing how much more there is to erotica than what they think of as just sex, no plot, because there is wonderful erotica now. I'm not sure there is a trend I can speak to, except that perhaps the writing is getting better. I get wonderful writers for my work. I'm always amazed. My next one is True Stories. It's called Wild Girls, Wild Nights. And I was just blown away by the things people were willing to share with me and how well they wrote them.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Saatchi, and good luck on that new project of True Stories.
Well, it'll be coming out in June, as a matter of fact, from Cleus.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Next up, we've got Delilah Devlin, who's a prolific and award-winning author of erotica and erotic romance, with a rapidly expanding reputation for writing edgy stories with complex characters. Devlin has published over 120 erotic stories in multiple genres and lengths, and the list of her stories and books is like a fantastic fantasy in and of itself. Things like Texas Men and Ravished by a Viking and Seduced by Darkness. I just love it. She's also appeared in lots of anthologies, and she is going to read today, I believe, from one called Cowboy Lust, Erotic Romance for Women. Welcome, Delilah.
Thanks so much for having me.
You do have a pretty fabulous lineup of titles. I mean, you do.
I love titles and often start writing a story from the title. So I always try to have that first in mind because it kind of sets up the theme for the book.
Ah, and so what are you going to read for us today?
Well, I've got a short story from Cowboy Lust. It's the one that I wrote called Runaway Bride, which is a very common trope in erotic romances. But I had some fun with it.
Okay, great.
Jackson Lowry cussed softly when he spotted the blue light spinning at the roadblock just ahead. Too late to turn back now. He'd only draw more attention. Squaring his jaw, he rolled down his window and forced a polite smile as he peered into the darkness at the sheriff's deputy, checking IDs with a flashlight. As soon as the deputy waved the car in front of him to move along and turned to watch the black pickup roll forward, Jackson's tension eased a fraction. Maynard Colby's expression turned from crisply professional to worried in a second as soon as he recognized him. Damn it, Jackson, where have you been? Around. Why? A soft moan sounded beside him, and Jackson reached beside him to tap the tarp covering his precious load. You didn't hear? At Jackson's vague expression, Maynard stepped onto the truck rail and leaned towards Jackson. It's Sammy Joe. Her car was found in Shooter's parking lot, the door wide open. No one's seen her. Looks like she's been snatched. Jackson cleared his throat. How serious is this getting? Well, it's only been a couple of hours, but Sammy Joe's daddy is bucking to get the sheriff to call in the FBI, the CIA, the ATF, whatever other agency his money can buy to find her. I tried calling you, but your phone kept going to voicemail. After the way things went down at the wedding last Sunday, I don't blame you a bit for laying low, but I thought you'd want to know. Another sound, this time a snort, sounded beside him. Maynard's gaze cut to the dirty tarp folded over a moving bundle on the floor of the cab. A ruddy eyebrow shot up. What's going on, Jackson? Jackson rolled his eyes and pulled up the corner of the tarp to reveal a bound and gagged Sammy Joe, whose eyes glittered furiously back at both men. Maynard barked a laugh and tightened his lips. This time you've gone and done it, boy. This is seriously fucked up. He laughed again and tipped his hat to Sammy Joe. No disrespect meant, missy. Jackson cleared his throat. Don't suppose you can forget about this. Maynard's gaze shot to Sammy Joe again, raked her once as though ensuring she didn't look to be in any real danger, then tipped back his cowboy hat. Tell you what, I'll put a bug in the sheriff's ear, but she better come walking through the police house doors come Monday morning. Not a word to her daddy? One corner of Maynard's mouth crooked up. Man's already caused enough problems, deserves to cool his heels a couple of days. Don't you do nothing I'll have to arrest you for. With a nod, Jackson rolled up the window and pulled past the barricade. Oh, this is funny. I just lost my next page.
Are you going to leave us hanging?
I am.
Well, I think that's always good. Sometimes you just got to tease and figure out.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I did that. Yeah, I printed it all out.
What might come next?
It's so busy in my house, you know?
For you, as someone who writes so much erotica and also edits, when you read a story, what catches your eye? I mean, you probably, you know, plow through piles and piles of submissions. What is it about a story that says, oh, this one, I definitely want to pick this one to publish?
Well, most of the anthologies that I've done for CLIAS have been erotic romance, whether it's lesbian or hetero. And so I'm looking for story. I'm looking for, you know, yes, it may have a certain theme like cowboy lust or female vampires, and so I'm looking for certain tropes, but I want to be surprised. And so I'm looking for story. I'm looking for characters that really connect, and I'm looking for a lot of heat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. And of course, they have to buy the book now to see what happens, to find out, which is perfect.
Okay.
Delilah Devlin is the editor of the anthologies Girls Who Bite, She Shifters, and the one you just heard from, Cowboy Lust. Find her online at DelilahDevlin.com. You can also find out about Saatchi Green's work online at Saatchi-Green.blogspot.com. Coming up, we'll talk to best-selling writer and editor Allison Tyler, and she'll read some more fabulous erotica. And if this has gotten you a little hot and bothered and wet, do you want more wet? Well, why not check out one of my fabulous sponsors, Astroglide? You can get a free sample of Astroglide Lube by going to astroglide.com. Let's take a break and pause for a moment, but we'll be back with Allison Tyler.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Experience love with a little help from nature's soothing ingredients with Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant. This all-natural and botanical formula lets you get in touch with your wild side, all while keeping it green. Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant is glycerin, paraben, and alcohol-free, and it's made with aloe vera, vitamins C and E, and chamomile. But with the same second-only-to-nature feel that you get with your regular Astroglide. Visit astroglide.com to get your free sample and start hitting it green between the sheets today.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We are spending this episode dedicated to erotica and some of the best in erotic fiction with some of the top names in the field. My next guest and I go way, way back. In fact, I've known her since she published her very first book. Over the past two decades, Alison Tyler has written more than 25 explicit novels, including Tiffany Twisted, Melt With You, and The ESP Affair. Her novels and short stories have been translated into Japanese, Dutch, German, Italian, Norwegian, Spanish, and Greek. When not writing sultry short stories, she edits erotica anthologies, including Alison's Wonderland, Kiss My Ass, Skirting the Issue, and Torn. She's also the author of several novellas. She's literally one of the hardest working women in erotica today. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Alison Tyler.
Hey, thanks so much, Tristan.
It has been a long time. You're one of the veterans of this world.
Yeah, dinosaur.
No, I don't think a dinosaur, but truthfully, you have been doing it for quite a long time, and you were doing it before its great explosion in popularity. What got you into it in the first place?
Well, I've been writing forever, and I was just writing for friends, boyfriends, just to entertain myself, and I had a boyfriend who really liked porn and erotica, and he said I should probably try to sell some of the stories I was writing. So it's just a million years ago, I sent something off and sold right away.
Wow. It's sort of like, you know, the dream of every writer. Oh, no, I just wrote it and I sent it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I just really lucked out because I hooked up with a few different editors who talked to other editors, publishers, and gave me kind of the green light.
And since you've been around since practically the beginning of this boom, anyway, what have you seen shift in terms of erotic publishing?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously everything's sort of going towards E. And I actually, it's so funny, I was cleaning up an older story last night that I'd written in 96, and it talks about zines. There's no reference to the internet. There's nothing about iPhones. Somebody makes a payphone call. So it's really funny for me to go back to some of my older stories and to see what's not in it. But one thing I just adore about the internet is that I've been able to put my hands on writers I would never have met before. You know, in Europe, in Asia, in Canada, you know, places that I just didn't have access. Because originally when I put out a call, I mean, I can't even remember how I put out calls. But now you can just post it on your blog or on the web and you get feedback from Australia overnight. I just love that.
And it also seems like the ebooks and Kindle books are just on fire right now in the erotica genre. And one of the great things too that I've been seeing is this trend toward these single stories that you don't necessarily have to be published, you know, in an anthology or in a collection, and you don't necessarily have to have a whole book of stories. You can have one story and put it up for $2.99 and people are buying them.
Absolutely. So there's like, they remind me of 45 records. You can just see if you like it and you're not really committing. I actually think bite-sized erotica is awesome. You know me. I've been doing short shorts since Masquerade. So I love that. You can kind of dive in and see if this is something you want to commit to or collect.
And that's another good thing about the anthology. I mean, one of the things that I always appreciate is when I read a story by someone that really, really resonates with me or speaks to me, I then can go track down their other work.
Which is really exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was introduced to Christina Lloyd through short fiction, and then I could find her novels and just fall into them, but know that I adore her voice. And that's really a fun way to sort of get to know people a little bit better.
Now, something people may not know about you who don't follow you or stalk you online is that you have been married for 17 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
To the same person.
I know. I know. It's crazy. And he will say, he'll say, you know, well, we've been together 18 billion years and we know each other really well. We have crazy good sex all the time. I don't know how we manage, but out in the shed, in, you know, in the back of the car, we just have kind of matching his and her libidos that go together.
Very nice. Well, I guess that means that you never are struggling for material.
No, we, yeah, he fuels my fire.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so today you're going to read from one of your new books, which is an anthology you edited, The Big Book of Bondage, Sexy Tales of Erotic Restraint.
Have you seen them? Cleese has this fabulous new trim size, and I just got my copy this week. And I think a few other authors have already had their books come out in this format, but they are just adorable. Like, you just want to wrap your hands around it.
And it makes a great gift.
Absolutely. So, I'm reading my story, which is called Burned, which is one of 25 stories in Big Book of Bondage. And the collection has some old favorites for me, like Thomas Roach, Sophia Valenti, Summer Marsden, and then some writers who are newer to me, which, again, has happened to me mostly through the internet, finding new writers. But Vita Bailey, who's in Ireland, and Giselle Renard, I'm not exactly sure if that's how you say name, but in Canada, and Kiki DeLovely. So it's really exciting to me to have a book. This is, I think, my ninth Bondage collection with Cleus, but to have familiar names and new ones as well.
Great.
So, read.
Go for it.
Okay, so my story's called Burned, and here we go. Jenny was the type of girl who stole things. Small things, like the few bucks remaining in your billfold if you inadvertently left your wallet on the counter. Important things, like the carnelian beads your mother had given you for your 16th birthday. Irreplaceable things, like your husband. I've known her type of woman before. In fact, I've gotten good at spotting them over the years. Why? Because when you're married to a man like Rick, you have to expect ladies will worm their way out of the holes in the headboard in order to try to steal him away. What makes Rick so fucking special? Well, there's the fact that he's handsome. And by handsome, I mean turn your head, wolf whistle, cat call, panties wet when he meets your eyes, dreamboat, movie star handsome. How did I hook up with a man like that? Fuck you. No, really. How many times have I been out to dinner with my husband and had a waitress pull me aside and ask me that insensitive question? So how did you two land together? What's your secret? As if a troll like me must have performed a magic trick by the light of the full moon to woo my man. Sacrificed a goat, bathed in pig blood. I'm not ugly. Don't set yourself on the wrong path there. But I didn't win the Gene Pool Olympics the way Rick did. My man's tall, 6'4" and bare feet. He's the type of hunk I grew up gazing at in posters on my wall. Magnum P.I., this $6 million man. Broad-shouldered, barrel-chested, gorgeous from tip to toe. And that tip includes the most beautiful cock I've ever seen. And me? I'm barely 5 feet, and I've got what my grandmother always used to call character. That means that my lips might be a little fuller than your average runway model. My hair is kinky curly. My nose wrinkles when I smile. My eyes are dark, and I always have those purplish smudges beneath them. Part Hungarian bloodline, part insomniac's curse. Why does Rick love me? Not because I could take on a Victoria's Secret angel, that's for sure. At least, not without playing dirty, sucker punching her when she flapped her white feathered wings on the catwalk. He loves me because one day, 2 years ago, he wandered into my studio while looking for a friend of his who just moved out. That was his line, anyway. I was hanging paintings on the wall, organizing oils, stretching drop cloths. The door was open and he stepped in, glanced around and said, "I like that one." I turned to see who was talking. I had my black hair scraped back with a red bandana, battered overalls on over a white beater t-shirt, kick-ass docks splattered with teal paint. "Which one?" I asked, turning to look where the stranger was pointing. "The girl on the bed." "Oh, her," I said. "She was my former ex-lover." Capital on the X. I should have taken a knife to the canvas based on what Jenny had done to my heart, but I was too proud of the work to destroy the piece. My goal was to sell the painting for a hefty price tag and then splurge on a trip to Paris. I thought that selling her ass would give me pleasure. The painting, you see, was a nude. Rick walked through the studio as if he had a reason to be there. "I'm Lola," I told him, offering a hand. He actually ignored me as he continued to look at the pictures, but he was so intent I forgave him the rudeness. "You're good," he said. "I know. Really good. I really know." I took the time to look him over. Part of me did so automatically. As an artist, I'm always assessing the lines and the angles, the way people's features fit. the way I might paint them if I had a shot. The other part of me looked at him in a less clinical way. I hadn't had a cock in a while. I wondered if he was all show or if he might be able to do the deed in a manner that would work for me. My friend used to live here, he said, finally explaining. I was in the neighborhood, and I thought I'd see if he was still around. By friend, you mean drug dealer, I asked. I'd found remnants that could mean nothing else. And people had come by at odd hours, other needy folk like Rick, searching for their savior in a dime bag. He looked at me. No judgment, I added. In that case, that's how we found ourselves getting stoned in my studio. I didn't have the bed in yet. We sat on the drop cloth strewn floor and smoked a little bit of marijuana I had left in my coffee can. Do all druggies keep their stash in the folders, or is it just me? He told me he was going through a rough breakup, that he hadn't gotten high in forever, that he'd driven to his dealer's place on a whim. I told him that I had moved in here when my ex and I had flamed out, told him that I painted more when I was unhappy than when I was happy. Rick proved me wrong on that one, let me tell you. He turned all my used-to-be's into so much nonsense. Back then, we were new. We were raw. We were fucking on the floor like animals before the afternoon had ended. The pot? Maybe marijuana helped. We were relaxed, and there was none of the weirdness about going on a date first, wondering if you'd get a kiss on the cheek or a grope on the ass. He had his knees bent, and he touched my foot with his foot. He put one hand on my leg. We were fondling each other as the late afternoon sun hit the opposite wall. There was music in the clink of my overall buckles when he undid each one. There was a gentlemanly quality in the way he helped undo the knots on my docks, the way he pulled off every scrap of my clothing before spreading me out on the floor. But there was brutality in the way he fucked me, and I thought, I could get used to this. I'll stop there.
Wonderful. That was a good one. I mean, if the rest of the stories are good, I think this is going to be one of your best anthologies.
I'm really pleased with it. It's just a beautiful book.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Allison Tyler. And everyone, if that didn't convince you to run out and buy that book, The Big Book of Bondage, and her other latest book, Sudden Sex, 69 Sultry Short Stories, you can find out all about Allison online at AllisonTyler.com. In our final segment, I welcome Christina Wright to talk about erotic romance. So, stay with us. Don't go anywhere. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Hello, Sex Out Loud listeners. This is Jennifer from the Smitten Kitten. Did you know that you can get 20% off your entire purchase at smittenkittenonline.com? All you have to do to get your discount is use the coupon code TRISTAN. That's TRISTAN. That means you can get 20% off all Enjoy surgical steel toys, 20% off all Vixen Creation silicone toys, including Tristan's signature butt plugs, and you can also get all of Tristan's DVDs, the entire Vivid Ed series she did, and the Chemistry series for 20% off. Too. Sex Out Loud listeners can get 20% off of everything at smittenkittenonline.com. Smitten Kitten specializes in high-quality sex toys and supplies. We're well known for having an amazing selection of toys made of silicone and other body-safe materials. Shopping on our website is easy. You can chat online with a Smitten Kitten sex educator, or you can call us anytime at 888-751-0523. Everything is 20% off at smittenkittenonline.com when you use coupon code TRISTAN at the checkout.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today we've been talking to and hearing from some of the best erotica writers and editors working today. And next I'd like to welcome Christina Wright, who's a full-time writer and the editor of the best-selling book Fairy Tale Lust, as well as Dream Lover, Steam Lust, Lustfully Ever After, Duty and Desire, and the series editor of Best Erotic Romance. She received the Golden Heart Award for Romantic Suspense from Romance Writers of America for her first novel, Dangerous Curves. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Christina.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You know, we started with a reading from Duty and Desire, Military Erotic Romance, and so it's nice to bookend with another reading. That's what you're going to share with us, yes?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay, I am reading from Duty and Desire, Military Erotic Romance, which is a collection of stories with erotic stories with a military theme. And this particular story is written by Charlotte Stein, and it's called Done. He always comes to me this way, skin smelling of something I can't identify and probably shouldn't want to. Fresh new scars littering his body, that look in his eyes like I don't know what. Sometimes it's as though someone has punched both of them out, even though there are no bruises around the hollow gaze. And sometimes it's like a fire is in there, burning down the house of him. But mostly I just can't tell, because he's Jack, and he does things for his country, and what does it really matter anyway? Jack isn't even his real name. It's probably something less clipped and generically exciting, like Peter or Paul, or even something ridiculous like Dwayne or Dwight. Though I make do with Jack, because without it, he'd just be the man with no name who comes to my house and does unspeakable things to me for one day out of every 60. I'd be a whole new version of the fugitive, only my bad guy is missing a moniker instead of an arm. And rather than killing my spouse, he just fucks me up against a whole variety of things until I come and come and come. I figure my version is unlikely to star Harrison Ford. I can't imagine Harrison Ford speaking some of the dialogue from my particular movie. Like in that bar the first time, when he told me he just wanted to get his face between my legs, that he wanted to spread me over something and lick my clit until I screamed. Yeah, I can't imagine many people saying something like that. But he does, because he's straight to the point. He's direct in a way other people never get to be, with all of their hours and hours of time to go on dates and negotiate sex and make everything nice with hearts and flowers. Instead, he comes to my door like a gunshot and tells me right off, I've been thinking of that pussy baby. I've been thinking of it so hard and long I forgot my own name. So I suppose that's why he's just Jack, because my cunt hypnotized him and made him lose it someplace I can't even imagine. And though I know that's a ridiculous thing to think, it stays with me when he gets up from the table. It matches the side of his cock all thick and stiff between the material of his rough pants. Could be he does think of me that way, if he's hard before we've even finished the dinner I've made. Before he's finished his drink, a beer he's barely touched, really, and he's such a sight to see. I don't mind admitting that my mouth goes dry and that he is that hot. He's big and roped with more muscle than I'm used to, eyes all dark like that hollow I always think of. The stubble on his shaved head so fine it's almost a grain. It's the insides of a strip of wood and as smooth as that to the touch. But it's not any of those things that would really speak to me, that make me wet before he's laid a finger on me, so ready to feel him fucking into my defenseless body. It's his hunger, his complete greed for the feel of me after so many months away doing God knows what. It's like he can hardly contain himself, like a hurricane in my house, just waiting to take everything apart, including me. And he does. He takes me apart. He pulls open the front of my dress without saying a word, hands so heavy and rough on me. And when I make a little sound, a little shocked note of protest, maybe, he kisses my suddenly bared breast by way of apology. Fucking beautiful, he tells me. And it's the strangest thing. I've never felt the word had quite the same ring of truth as when he says it. Even with the swearing shunted right up against its ass, I feel it keenly. I feel it perfectly. I am beautiful when he kisses my breasts and cups my backside in his big hands. All of him so voracious somehow, it's impossible to resist. And oh God, he's so strong. I won't deny that there's anything but a bonus to that. Where other men would squeeze and be done with it, he uses that tight, near painful grip to lift me clean off my feet. my legs going around his waist like a reflex. That mouth now on my throat as he grinds me hard against that sphinx between his thighs. And then he tells me things that should be embarrassing, that would be embarrassing if someone else said them, but somehow they aren't with him. Oh, yeah, he tells me as he rubs right over my cotton-clad pussy. I can almost feel how wet you are, baby. You want it, huh? You want my cock and your cunt? I'd hate it if another man used that word. I'd shut him down, tell him off. But then again, another man wouldn't say it the way Jack does, like he's praying to a god I don't have. Please, I say, because that's how I feel right now. Like I'm one big please, one big long need for him inside me. And he doesn't disappoint. He gets me on the kitchen table, slides my panties down, exposes my pussy in a way I've never been exposed before, two fingers on either side of my slit spreading me open. Oh, look at that, he says, though I don't have to. I can imagine what it looks like just by the feel of it. All the wetness easing down between the cheeks of my ass, my clit just one big long thrum before he's even touched me. And then he does touch it, and I sob for him. I rise on the kitchen table, pinned more effectively than a bug. Yeah, he says, and he does something that should make me blush tomorrow. It should, but I know it won't. Tomorrow I'll think of it and masturbate instead, because just the image of him fitting right over my swollen little bud will be enough to get me going. It's such a dirty thing, so rude, and yet it feels so good when he does work that extra bit of slickness up and over my clit. He just does it with the pad of his thumb until I'm half crazy, then works and works until I'm all the way there, all the way into crazy and out the other side, crying and begging him to just fuck me. And that's my excerpt from Duty and
Wow.
Desire.
So military erotic romance, it seems very specific, very niche. Why military, and how does it fit into erotica for you?
Okay, how it fits in erotica for me is I am a member of the military family. My husband is in the Navy. He was an enlisted sailor, and he ultimately got his commission, so he's been a naval officer for the last 12 years. And I was listening to your interview with Allison earlier. We've been married for 22 years, so you have some longevity on the show today. And I have always heard the stories about men in uniform and women in uniform and the sex appeal and the mystery and the mystique that surrounds the military community. And having seen it from the inside, I can promise you that it's not nearly as romantic as the movies make it. But on the other hand, there is something about committing not only to a relationship, but committing to this particular very topsy-turvy lifestyle of unpredictability in terms of your schedule and where you live and how often you're going to see each other and deployments and, you know, overseas tours and whatnot. And also the risks that military members are often forced to involve themselves in that brings a lot of emotion to the surface, and a lot of relationships don't stand the test of that unpredictability and the worry and the concern that are behind it. But those that do, I think, find themselves in an even maybe a tighter relationship, a tighter bond. And so because my focus is on erotic romance and the building of not only the erotic component, but also the romantic component of the relationships, I thought that a military erotic romance collection edited by someone who has seen it from the inside and isn't just looking at the romantic side of the experience would be a terrific addition to the genre of erotic romance.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this book with us, Christina. And Christina Wright's newest book is Best Erotic Romance 2013. And the one you heard the story from is Duty and Desire, Military Erotic Romance. Find out about this and more at ChristinaWright.com. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you so much for having me, Tristan.
I got so carried away with our erotica day that I forgot to do a shout out to one of my sponsors, WeVibe, the world's best-selling couples vibrator. Go to we-vibe.com to find out more. I want to thank all my guests, Shauna Germain, Sachi Green, Delilah Devlin, Allison Tyler, and Christina Wright. Find out about all the books you heard from today and more at cleuspress.com. And you can find their individual websites and social media by going to our website, sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett, my engineer today, Chad, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Barbara Corrales. talking about tantric sex, sacred sexuality, and her new book, Ecstasy is Necessary. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter @SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Take some time to read some erotica to each other and take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.